The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard it ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we were preparing for Lent, each one of us are preaching a weekend. So I chose this weekend to preach. And I particularly like this weekend, Woman at the Well, because it involves conversation. I think that's something we've got away from, conversation. Be able to speak, but also be able to listen. Technology, it's too easy to send something, receive something, whether it's a text or an email. I know recently I got an email from someone. I responded to it. I checked my email a little later. They responded to me and asked a question. I responded to them. Then they asked another question. A little later I checked my email. I just picked up the phone and called them. I'm done with that email. You know, let's talk about this, you know. And we could go for this for days and days. But we see in this gospel here, real conversation leads to conversion. And quite frankly, well, let's look at where we are in an increasingly polarized society, and even sometimes the church as well. Strident voices often have the upper hand. Online news stories has a string of comments longer than the article, and often commenting on the comments. Civil conversation is a vanishing skill that many call for but few practice. To engage in real conversation is to turn our attention towards the other. In the process, we lose something of ourselves, as well as giving something of ourselves to the other. The art of conversation should leave us changed to a greater or lesser degree, but not livid. The gospel today narrates a model conversation between the woman at the well and Jesus. She thought she was just doing her midday chore of drawing water. But when she walked away from the well, she was one changed woman. The conversation made her a model of discipleship for us, for the church. And the exchange began innocently enough. The woman came to draw water from the well, but Jesus drew her into conversation with a blunt request. "Give me a drink." Jesus was a stranger to her, so why should she be taken in? She pointed that fact out to him, only to hear him in return offer the promise about some sort of living water. This conversation was getting strange, but she held her ground. He had no bucket of his own, so what could this offer mean? Who was this foreigner, and what was this living water he was speaking about? This woman's reluctance should strike a familiar chord with all of us. Sometimes we find ourselves in a conversation that began with an unexpected encounter with a stranger. Inside, we can feel our own protective walls suddenly begin to rise, since we aren't sure of what to expect. Of course, some conversations are just simply odd, and they fizzle out. But in hindsight, we know that others have led us to places we might not otherwise have gone. But what if we had simply walked away? But we stayed and talked. What is true in those human exchanges is also true in the life of faith. Encounters with God can begin in strange ways. Our reluctance to be drawn in is an understandable reaction, but if we overcome it, we might find that we have set out on the path to conversion. The conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well began with a curious request from Jesus: "Give me a drink." But there's more to it. St. Augustine remarks, the one who was asking for a drink of water was thirsting for her faith. Something simple as satisfying thirst opened the way for a deeper conversation in which the living waters of faith could flood her life. And she wanted what Jesus offered. "Give me some of that living water." But the encounter was about to take a twist. The woman's willingness to pursue the conversation involved the risk of self-disclosure, as she soon found out. Suddenly, this stranger, Jesus, asked her to go get her husband. And her clever, if truthful, answer was matched by his knowledge of her marital history. Jesus brought out into the open what she had worked to hide. And then, not only her personal life, but also her cultural background and her most cherished religious beliefs became the subject of the conversation. It must have been more than she had bargained for. That's the risk of real conversation. It includes the possibility of disclosing our beliefs, our personal history, and all the things that have made us who we are. It runs the risk of self-disclosure. And without that risk, we'll never be in a position to become someone different than who we presently are. Conversion implies the willingness to examine the details of our life. And if we do that, there's no guarantee that we'll get back just as we've had it before. Real conversation requires honesty, but it also requires courage to open ourselves to another person and to open ourselves to God. God knows our hearts anyways, despite the clever attempts we make to put our best face forward, just like the woman who spoke truly enough about her husband. But Jesus spoke even more truthfully about her and showed her what it meant to seek out the living God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. But let's not be fooled by an appearance of intimacy. After all, in the age of talk shows and social media posts, public soul bearing can look a lot like the real thing. It's hardly a model for real conversation and therefore real conversion. The conversation at the well wasn't broadcast to an audience of millions, nor did the woman write her story for publication. Jesus spoke truthfully to her and to her alone. He respected her, and he treated her seriously, perhaps for the first time in her life. And the woman rose to the occasion. She took the risk of disclosing herself to Jesus by displaying the courage necessary to engage in the conversation. In the course of their conversation, Jesus also revealed himself to the woman. She hinted that she knew the Messiah would one day come and he would tell everything. And Jesus told her, "I who speak to you, I am he." Their conversation had been a real exchange, and in that exchange, Jesus had revealed her deepest thirst for God. What began as a slow drip of curiosity had become a gushing font of desire. That's what happens when we engage in the task of conversion. Jesus shows our deeper desire for God and the satisfaction of that desire for us once even more. The joy of real conversion seems to renew itself because in the ongoing conversation, the Lord gives of himself more and more. That joy is the living font of water welling up to eternal life. But conversion, like conversation, isn't a one-time deal. It's an art whose repeated practice begins and brings deeper and deeper rewards. And there's a further consequence. In any real conversation, we come away changed because we leave something of ourselves behind. That is what happened to the woman at the well. When Jesus had revealed himself to her, she left her water jar behind. She left her water jar behind and ran off to tell others in her town. The jar held her past, but it had served its purpose. It brought her to the well. It was no good to her now anyway. It was too small to possibly hold the flood of water about to gush forth in her. Likewise, we have to let go of those small buckets that were enough to satisfy our desires at one time. Conversion only increases our thirst for more. What we once knew is no longer good enough and has to be left behind. The woman shows us what a true disciple must do. Her conversation with Jesus made her realize how deeply Jesus thirsted for her faith and what she had to leave behind in order to satisfy that thirst. And how different she was for having talked to that stranger at the well. When the woman left Jesus, she went back to her village and said to her own people that Jesus had told her everything she'd done. They in turn begged Jesus to stay for a while, and he did. And then they too joined in the conversation until they could say to the woman, "No longer does our faith depend on your story. We've heard for ourselves, and we know that he is the Savior of the world." The conversation begets community, and community deepens conversion. Christianity is not a Jesus and me religion. He is the Savior of the world. And we are to carry that conversation with the whole world because the spring of his life and death and glorious resurrection continually wells up within us.